Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
How many of you have realized that life is full of criticism? Huh? Raise your hands if you've experienced criticism in your own life. I think almost every hand here is raised. All of us will experience criticism. Pastor Craig Rochelle, he's the pastor of Life Church, and we're going to be doing a series of messages called Difficult People. It's based on a series of messages that he did, but he's based out of Oklahoma, and they started their church, and it spread to many states. They are, in fact, in 12 states. They have 40 campuses, and they're ministering to thousands of people. And he shares a story about how one time he was on his way to a conference. Because God has blessed him, he speaks at many pastors' conferences, and he was on his way, and he makes a connecting flight to go to the destination, and it just so happens that a lot of the other teaching pastors going to the conference were on that same flight. And as they board, all those teaching pastors are sitting in first class. Craig, when he gets on, he walks by them, and he goes to, coach. He's in the back seats, and when everything is finished, when that flight is finished and they get off, apparently those pastors were talking because they caught up with Craig, and they says, "Craig, what are you doing flying coach? You're a man of God. God has blessed you. You're highly favored. You should be flying first class." And he says, guys, I'm not against that for you. You can go ahead and do that, but that's not me. That's not who I am. And they wouldn't give it up. They just kept saying, you should be flying first class. You deserve it. And they just hammered him over and over. And he says, guys, back off. That's enough, okay? That's just not me. So he's criticized for flying coach, for not flying first class. Well, it just so happens, after the conference, on his return trip home, they get to the connecting flight, the last leg of the journey into Oklahoma City, and there's a lot of people in the airport, and they know him, just because they know who Craig Rochelle is, and for some reason, and to this day he doesn't know why, he got bumped up to first class. So he gets on the plane first, like all the first class passengers, and then everybody starts streaming on board, and as they do, people start making comments. Huh, mega pastor, flying first class. Someone else walks by and says some other snide remark. And a third person walks by, and this really lit Craig off. He said, pastor, I can't believe you're using church funds to fly first class. What a poor steward. I can't believe it. And Craig said, my buddy had to hold me back. I almost got up and went after the guy. He's criticized for not flying first class. He's criticized for flying first class. He says, from now on when I fly, I'm just going to sit on the toilet. That's how life is. You and I can do something and be criticized for it. We cannot do something and be criticized for it. And sometimes it doesn't matter which way you go, what you decide, you will be criticized no matter what. That is life. And this morning, we're going to talk about criticism. We're going to talk about that. How do we deal with criticism, and especially the overly critical person in our lives? We need to realize that even as you look at the Bible, people were criticized. Moses was criticized about who he married. His brother and sister didn't like who he married. So there are some of you here today, your family doesn't like who you married. Hey, you're in good company with Moses. Moses was also criticized, get this, for leading Egypt out of slavery. He led them to freedom, and the people are saying, we had it so much better back in Egypt. Why'd you take us out of slavery? Why'd you take us out of long, hard days where we're being whipped and driven? I mean, you talk about being criticized. Paul was criticized. He was told he wasn't a good preacher. He was told that he was not a good teacher. He was told that he was too radical and too far out there. And then when you look at Jesus himself, even Jesus was criticized. He was criticized for who he hung out with. They said that you're a friend of sinners. You eat dinner with tax collectors. You heal on the Sabbath. Even, they said, his miraculous power, as he did miracles, was from Satan himself. Jesus was heavily criticized. And so you and I need to realize that criticism is just part of life, and we need to learn how to deal with that and really how to deal with all difficult people. Our theme for 2022 is what? It's one word. What is our theme? Lead, yes. And we're talking about how do we lead ourselves, how do we lead our families, how do we lead other people to Christ. And we're doing a series on relationships right now. A couple of weeks ago, we started out with a talk on marriage about the love connection. How do we lead our spouse? How do we lead our marriage? For the next few weeks, we're going to look at how do we lead ourselves with difficult people. Because as difficult people come into our lives, as they say things, as they do things, it's going to impact us, and how you and I respond can make or break that person coming to Christ. Also, as people around us watch how we react to difficult people, it can tarnish our witness or it can build our witness up. So we want to learn how do we lead difficult people, how do we lead ourselves when we're faced with difficult people. On your notes, there is a key thought, and I want you to take a look at this. This is a great insight. Praise and criticism are windows to the heart. Praise and criticism are windows to the heart. They reveal and expose what's important to us or what is going on inside of us. Ecclesiastes 7:5 says, better to be criticized by a wise person than praised by a fool. So there are times when criticism is good, times when it's not so good. But this is what praise and criticism does. In your notes this morning, praise often reveals what you value the most. Praise often reveals what you value the most. If you're got a brand new shirt or something you've never worn before, and you walk in and someone says, I like your shirt, it's a good chance that he or she really values clothing, right? You know, there are some people, they get something new, and now this, husbands, I hope this isn't you, okay? Notice when your wife gets new clothes, but there are some of us, clothes not that important to us, so when they put on, you get a new outfit, we don't even recognize it. Boy, it's really quiet in here. But this works in everything. Someone sees your car. Hey, that's a great car. That's a great truck. They value vehicles. Someone who's really into fishing, you know, someone could bring along their fishing gear and have top-of-the-line gear. I wouldn't say anything about it unless it was really kind of fancy and looked good. And that's the reason is because I don't know fishing gear. I know nothing about it. But if I look at your golf bag and I see these Callaway clubs and stuff, hey, those are some awesome clubs. You see, you praise what you recognize. Even when you wear a sports team hat or a jersey and you're walking through the store and someone says, hey, love your hat, they praise what they value. And we see this all through our lives. So when we praise something or when someone praises something about us, it reveals a window to our heart. It reveals what we value. Now, on the flip side, criticism often reveals our deepest insecurities. Criticism often reveals our deepest insecurities. What a person criticizes often shows us where they are insecure. You know, if someone comes up to you and says, man, that shirt is so last season, so last year, that maybe says that they're kind of insecure about how they look and do they look with it, that image. Is they're very image conscious, and it shows where they're insecure. If someone comes up and says, well, you're just so proud, you're so arrogant, you think you're so great, that might be a person who feels insecure about their abilities, and they don't feel validated. They are struggling with their own self-worth. Many times our criticism is in that area of our own insecurity. Heard a true story one time about this guy. He was roommates with another guy, and he went around and he criticized both this guy to his face and other people saying how this guy looks at pornography all the time. He has a lust problem. He's filled with lust. He is so ungodly. And it wasn't too long later, it was revealed that the criticizer was having an affair with a married woman. You see, he knew what he was doing, and he was insecure, knew it wasn't right, and so he's criticizing other people in that same area of insecurity. We realize this is why Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 4, how can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? I want this thought to sink in this morning, that praise and criticism are windows of the heart. And so what does that say about you? What does that say about what you value? And what does that say about the things you're insecure about in your own life? Praise and criticism are windows to the heart. Now, why are people so critical? Why are they so critical? Many times, those who are critical are the ones that really don't like themselves. The ones who are overly critical really don't like themselves. And they criticize you because that validates them. If they can make you bad, then that makes them feel like I am better than you. And because they feel bad about themselves, they criticize everyone and everything to feel better about themselves. For some of us, we deal with this every day. Maybe we had critical parents growing up. We could never do anything right. No matter what we did, no matter what we said, we couldn't do anything right. Or maybe you're in a marriage where the conversation is always critical. Friends, let me just share this with you. Whether you're here live or whether you're watching online, and online audience, good to have you with us this morning. Thanks for joining us. But if your marriage is filled with criticism, you're poisoning your marriage. You're destroying your marriage. And your marriage will not be all that God intended it to be if you have this constant flow of criticism. Proverbs says how life and death, the power of life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so we can be speaking life into our marriages, or we can be speaking death into our marriages. And that's in all relationships. Sometimes we go to work and we can't do anything right at work. There's a coworker or a boss, a supervisor, who's always on our case. We can't do anything right. Sometimes it might be at school. Sometimes it might be with friends. Sometimes it's even in the church. In fact, many times Christ followers are the worst at criticizing other Christ followers. My sister-in-law, Rachel, Rebecca's sister, she once worked in a restaurant, and she said she hated working Sundays. One reason is because she wanted to go to church, but the big reason, she said that the Sunday church crowd was always the most critical of anyone throughout the week. Always nitpicky, this wasn't good. And not only that, they were the lousiest tippers. You know, I find that so ironic. People that have been saved, we've been given the abundant life and the joy of the Lord, and God has generously lavished on us. We're the most stingiest, negative, nitpicky people around. Friends, that's not how Christians should be. As a body, we need to build each other up instead of being cannibalistic. There are some Christians, they're cannibalistic. They criticize and they eat each other up. That's not a healthy body. That's not a healthy attitude. And so how do we deal with criticism? I'm going to give you this morning two wrong responses to criticism and then three right responses, okay? We'll move kind of quickly through these. Look at number one in your notes for wrong responses to criticism. Number one is to fight. To fight. When someone criticizes us, we often want to fight back. When someone starts laying into us or someone starts saying something, don't you just kind of feel your heart start to race? You feel like your blood pressure kind of going up, and you just kind of feel like this steam rising up inside, and you just kind of want to puff your chest and, lash out back at them. That's human nature. But friends, that's not a right response. Another scenario of this fight is that maybe at the time we can't think of anything to say, and we walk away from the situation, and then we just keep thinking about it. We formulate in our minds all of these arguments, and it's like, if they say anything again, look out, baby. I'm going to lower the boom on them. How many have ever done that before? I'm going to let them I know what I'm going to say now. Yeah, I'm ready. Come on, put the gloves on. Let's go. We need to be careful in our attitudes that we're not fighting as people criticize us. That's a wrong response. Another wrong response is flight. The second wrong response is flight. Fight or flight. And flight is where we withdraw and say, you know what, you've hurt me. I'm going to stiff arm you. I'm going to keep you at a distance. I'm going to never let you get close again. And you're never going to hurt me again. Now, I realize there are some people, they do that over and over and over. There is a great book by Henry Cloud and John Townsend called Boundaries that talk about how to deal with that. But there are certain times, I've known some people, they get hurt one time and boom, they just wall themselves off. And one offense, they put up a wall. Another offense, they put up a wall. And they're walling themselves off to everyone. We cannot be people that withdraw from offense or withdraw from conflict and from criticism. That's a wrong response. We won't grow in our relationships. All right, let's take a look at the right responses. We're going to take a little bit more time on the right responses. Right response to criticism number one is to listen. It's to listen. If you want to become all that God wants you to be, then you and I need to listen to criticism, constructive criticism in our lives. So the question is, how do I know if it's constructive criticism? How should I know if I should listen to someone or not? I'm going to give you a couple practical ways in your notes this morning. We will listen when their motive is to help, not to hurt. We'll listen if their motive is to help us and not hurt us. For example, let's say you're trying to lose weight and someone comes up to you and says, hey, there's this thing going on at the gym. If you buy one membership, you get one for free for a month. How about we go to the gym together? You want to go to the gym together? That would be someone who's trying to help you. Now, someone who hurts you would come up and say, man, baby, you're really fat. Why are you eating that other Oreo? You know what I mean? There are some people who are very cutting in their remarks. And so, do people want to hurt you or do they want to help you? And there are sometimes they think they're helping, but their motive is really to put you down and just to make you feel bad. So that's one thing that you need to look for. The second thing to look for in criticism is that we want to listen when the person can help, they're knowledgeable, and they have some experience. If they've got some knowledge in that area or experience in that area, and we know that they can help us, then you want to listen at that time. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31 and 32, it says, if you listen to constructive criticism, you'll be at home among the wise. If you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. What happens when we reject constructive criticism? It harms us. It harms us. So when someone approaches us, we need to listen, because honestly, until you listen, you don't know if it's constructive or deconstructive. And here's the thing. We need to be careful that sometimes that people that we know who are overly critical, they might say something to us, and as soon as they open their mouth and we hear what it is, it's easy for us just to turn them off. It's easy to turn them off. And this is something I have found. I listen to the criticism, but then I take it to God and I say, God, is there any truth? And because sometimes maybe what they say is completely wrong, but there's a small nugget of truth that I can take from it and I can apply to my life. And that's not easy, because a lot of times when you're with those overly critical people, you just become defensive. You want to fight back. You want to retaliate, or you just want to walk away and just forget all about him. But it's important to listen and let the Spirit of God speak to your soul. So if you and I are going to max out and be all God wants us to be, we need to listen to constructive criticism. That's the first right response. The second right response is to answer. We need to answer. Sometimes when people are criticizing, there is a time when we need to answer and respond to the criticism. We do offer a defense. We speak the truth in love. We don't say it in venom and in anger or in pride. We communicate it properly. And so the question is, how do we answer them? Well, when do we answer them? Number one in your notes, we answer when the person is missing information that would change his or her perception. Maybe they're criticizing something, and we realize they don't have the complete picture, they don't know everything, and if I share this fact or I share these things with them, it's going to give them a more accurate picture, and it can resolve or answer the criticism that they have. Another time when we want to answer is when the person is open to change. We answer when the person is open to change. There are certain circumstances where people just won't listen. They're not open to change. How many know someone like that? They're always right. And even if they're faulty in their information and you respond back, you know it's not going to make a difference. How many know someone like that? For how many of you, that person sitting next to you, that, no, don't raise your hand on that. No. We need to realize, are they open to change? There are sometimes you just walk away. You just walk away because answering them, that they're just going to find something else to criticize you about. Why? Because life is full of criticism. It is. In fact, I want you to say that this morning. I will be criticized. Okay? I want to say it again. Online audience, if you're there, I want you to join us. Okay? Everyone together. I will be criticized. Look at your neighbor. Say, you will be criticized. And you do a horrible job responding to... No, that's criticism. You don't want to do that. Let's pause for a moment and talk about marriages, okay? We talked a little bit about that before. If your marriage is characterized by constant criticism, here's the thing. If you completely ignore it and don't listen to your spouse, number one, those are issues that are never going to get better. There are things going on that need to come out in the open. A few weeks ago, I got a sliver in my finger, and I dug it out. I thought I got it. About a week later, I just noticed I had a pain in my finger. I looked, and the sliver was still there. Friends, there are slivers in our lives. Times when somebody does something, it wounds us. It gets under our skin. It gets into our soul. And it will fester out. If you don't deal with issues in marriage, it's going to get infected and it is going to get ugly. And I just encourage you, as a couple, when there's criticism, handle it the right way, but you've got to talk about it. You've got to work it out. If you don't, you're going to ruin your marriage. And if you're the one who's always doing the criticizing, be really careful. Realize this. When you criticize your spouse with the wrong heart all the time, it's not going to change anybody. And I really pray that our marriages will be categorized as marriages that are life-giving. That we have a tree of life in our soul and we're communicating life to our spouse, and constructive criticism is life-giving. It's like what we read in the beginning. He who listens, receives criticism from a wise person is better than someone who receives praise from a fool. So really work on this in your marriages to answer each other those issues, but make sure that as you're sharing your criticism, you're doing it in the right spirit. There's an incident in the Old Testament where we see an answer being given. It's in Judges chapter 8. And just kind of the backstory here is that Gideon went into war against this nation that was attacking Israel, and he didn't invite one of the tribes, the Ephraimites. And they are upset with him. They're blasting him. Take a look in Judges chapter 8, verse 1. The Ephraimites asked Gideon, "Why have you treated us like this? Why didn't you call us when you went to fight Midian?" And they criticized him sharply, but he answered them. And he gave a defense, and as you read the story, basically what he did, he's just built them up. He encouraged them. He says, "Man, I mean, I did this, but look at all the things you guys have done. You guys have done this. You guys are so strong. You've done this." And he just built them up, and he gave an explanation about his thing. But as he built them up, his answer resolved the conflict. Their anger subsided, and it took care of the problem. And so we need to be people who are walking in the Spirit of God that know how to give an answer that turns away wrath. A soft answer turns away wrath. If you get angry and defensive and you give an answer, that's just going to escalate the situation. So there are times in our life when we are going to listen to the criticism because we know the person wants to help us or they can help us. There's times in our life where we're going to answer criticism because that person maybe doesn't have all the information and we need to expand their perspective so they see things properly. There's a third proper response to criticism this morning, and that is to dismiss. We need to learn to dismiss invalid criticism. When do we dismiss invalid criticism? Number one in your notes, when the person criticizing is characterized by being overly critical. When the person who's doing the criticizing is being overly critical. That's the person who it's like, "I don't like my job. I don't like my boss. I don't like the weather. The government is screwing the country up. You know, I can't believe this is happening." Everything is always negative. I mean, it's like they go through life and you would swear they're wearing glasses that have doom and gloom printed on them because everything's always negative, everything's always bad. How many know someone like that? Yeah. When you're always negative, you know, it's like, you know, there's nothing good on TV, football's over, nothing to watch, Matrix Resurrections is a stupid movie, you know. And they just go on and on and on. When there is overly critical people, it is okay to dismiss invalid criticism. Now, when the person, here's another time when we dismiss invalid criticism. When the person who's criticizing is emotionally unhealthy or wounded. When they're emotionally unhealthy or wounded. Now, that doesn't mean we dismiss the person. Okay? We don't dismiss the person, but we dismiss their criticism. Many years ago, I was at a leadership conference, and someone made this remark, and they said, "Hurting people hurt people." And as I've been in ministry, I have seen that true over and over and over. Someone who is hurting, someone who is wounded, and sometimes those wounds go back years, decades, things that happened in the home, things that happened at school, they were bullied, and there is a lot of hurt there. And as they carry that hurt with them, because they haven't resolved it, because they haven't forgiven, because they haven't allowed the grace of God to make them whole, as they carry this hurt, now they're lashing out in anger to everyone around them. Hurting people hurt people. Sometimes, if someone's hurting financially, what they'll do is they will look at other people who are doing well financially and they'll attack them. Maybe they haven't been tithing, they've been overcharging, living above their means, and so there is a lot of financial stress in their lives. And so they find someone who's financially blessed of God, someone who's been faithful steward of God's resources, and they'll single you out and they'll begin to attack you. "You live such a lavish lifestyle. You're stingy. You don't help the poor. You don't do this. You're just greedy." And they'll attack someone who's doing well financially because that's where they're hurting. It can happen in marriages. Someone who's got a rough marriage finds someone who has a good marriage, and they begin to criticize them in their area of hurt. And so realize, as you see someone who's overly critical, ask yourself, are they hurting? And begin to pray for them that God would heal the hurt. Pray that God would restore them. Pray that God would open their eyes. And a lot of times, it's very difficult because those people, they don't want to admit their hurt because then they've got to deal with it. Because then they have to say, I've been wrong at being critical and attacking you, and to admit I've been wrong just is another notch down. It slams them down, and they feel even worse about themselves now because they already feel bad about themselves. If you're a hurting person, I want you to know this morning, Jesus Christ can heal you, but you need to be willing to let it go. There are some of you here today, someone has said something or done something to you, and it has hurt you, and you have carried that hurt throughout your life, and it is growing. You need to let it go. You need to let it go for your health and the health of everyone around you, for your marriage, for your kids if you have them, for your family, for your work relationships, for your effectiveness in the kingdom of God. You've got to let your hurt go. There is nothing no one has ever done to you that is more severe than what you did to Jesus to put him on the cross. There is nothing anyone has done that's more severe than what we did to God, because our sin caused God's Son to be killed and executed on a cross. We need to let our hurt go and forgive. Jesus, in this area of dismissal, he had to do this all the time. The Pharisees were coming up to him and they criticized him, they blasted him, and he sometimes would respond, and this is when he would respond so that the people around him would not get a wrong perception of truth. That's when he responded. But a lot of times, he didn't say much. He didn't respond. In fact, he tells a story one time likening them to being plants. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "Every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch." So Jesus dismissed them. He dismissed them. And I want you to understand something. The more successful you become in any area of your life, the more you're going to be criticized. The more successful you become in your business, in your leadership position in the company and rise to the top, the more people are going to criticize you. The more effective you become as a leader in the community, influencing others, the more people are going to criticize you. The more effective and beautiful marriage you have, people are going to criticize you. The more effective you become in ministry and you begin to see God do great things, you're putting a target on your back, the more you're going to be criticized. It's funny, it's how, and I've seen this, when a pastor is having problems at a church, other pastors will rally around him, and it's like, hey, you okay? But when that pastor starts to have a breakthrough and begins to experience things, then the other guys say, well, he's just teaching a compromising gospel. You know, he's just seeker-friendly and doesn't worry about real holiness and depth of discipleship. And it's amazing. Success attracts critics. So if you don't want to be criticized, be a flop and a failure. How many want to follow that advice, huh? So just realize the more successful you become, the more criticism you will experience in your life. You have a choice this morning, friends. As people criticize you, what are you going to do with it? Sometimes we want to please people so much, We want people to like us, that when someone says something critical, that it just destroys us. And we live with, and there are some of you here today, you've been haunted for years because someone said something to you, and you've been carrying that baggage around because an overly critical person hit you, and it's not legitimate. You haven't dismissed it. You have taken that, and you've internalized it, you've personalized it, and it's ruining you. Jesus, even if there's something you've done wrong, ask God to forgive you for what you did wrong and move on in the power of God. Let go of unjust criticism that you're hanging on in your life. There was a time when I was criticized in ministry by a large group of people, and there was things they were saying like, you are unspiritual, you're lazy, you're cruel, you're mean, you're unloving, you're uncaring, you're dishonest, you're a thief. The criticism began to morph into some hideous lies. And friends, it hurt immensely. I mean, they were attacking my reputation, my character, and it hurt profusely. How do you deal with that? When you're just being slammed and hammered, two things that I've done, and I don't know how you work through it, but there's a couple things that I did to work through it. Number one, I remember that Jesus was criticized. I mean, he's the sinless Son of God. He is perfect. And yet he's called a lawbreaker. He heals on the Sabbath. You know, he's called a friend of sinners. He hangs out with prostitutes and, you know, thieves, and that tax collectors were thieves. He's a horrible person. He's empowered by the devil. And when I remember that Jesus was unjustly criticized, I realize, you know what? He gets me. He knows what it's like. And that word we had today about God walks with you daily, you know, if God walks with us, but he didn't know anything about us and he couldn't relate to us, it wouldn't be that significant. But we're told in Isaiah, he is a man of sorrows and that he has carried our griefs and sorrows. Jesus knows our pain, our hurt, our sorrow, our griefs, and our criticism because he was criticized. And so realize, as you walk through this, you're not walking through it alone. God is with you in that criticism. That's the first thing to realize, is that God is with you. And then second thing that I've done to overcome that is I find a safe place in the presence of God. And I just lay out my whole life and I say, God, examine my heart. Examine my conduct. Examine my attitudes. As David said, see if there be any wicked way in me. God, if there's anything I've done wrong, then help me go and make it right. And if after I've examined my heart and I realize my motives are pure and I'm trying to please God, then it's like, okay, God, I'm just going to keep doing what you've told me to do. I'm going to keep being who you've called me to be. I'm going to keep walking in the path that you've revealed to me, even though people are criticizing me. Because it is so easy for us to want to please people, but they're not who we need to be concerned about. We need to live to please God. I want you to write this down. We need to learn to live for an audience of one. We need to learn to live for an audience of one. Someday you're going to stand before God, and he's going to say, what did you do with your life? And you're going to give an account of everything you've done, you've said, how you've invested your time, your talent, and your resources. And really, it's only what God thinks is going to matter. It doesn't matter what anyone else in the world thinks. Not your spouse, not your family, not your boss, not your friends, not other Christians, not your pastor. It's what God thinks. And so we need to live to please God. In your notes this morning, It says we can't please all people, but we can please God. We can't be driven by what other people think. We too must learn to live to please God. The Apostle Paul put it so beautifully in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. He says, "For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news." Our purpose is to please God, not people. Friends, what's our purpose? I can't hear you. What's your purpose? Look at your neighbor and ask him, what's your purpose? To please God. That's our purpose. So when criticism comes at you, just examine your life, and if you're living your life to please God and there's no truth in the criticism, you dismiss it. You dismiss it. This morning, as we wrap things up, are you struggling with criticism in your life in one way or the other? Maybe you're on the receiving end of criticism. Or maybe you realize you're on the giving end of criticism. God wants us to be people who are healthy, who give life and not drain life. He wants us to be infused with life and not let other people drain us and suck the life out of us, preventing us from following His purpose and pleasing Him. Let's pray together this morning. Everyone join me in prayer. Father God, I pray that You will renew our minds and change our hearts so that we're driven for Your glory and not for the approval and the opinions of others. Many of you here this morning, maybe you're like me. When I was growing up, I wanted people to give me praise. I wanted people to like me and like what I did. And so as a result, I tried to do things to please people. I tried to be very successful so that they would affirm and validate me. And I tried to get my worth from what I did and from what other people thought of me. And as a result, it drove me to be very performance-driven and perfectionistic. And that is a trap that you can never win at. You can never succeed. Because nothing anyone says and nothing that you'll ever accomplish or have success in is going to make you feel validated and worthy. Only God can give you a sense of worth. Only God can validate you. And maybe you're here this morning and you've lived to please people. You don't want to offend them. Maybe you're performance driven and you'd say, I need to break out of that. I need to live to please God and please God alone. There's some of you, maybe you're dealing with the ghosts of the past. Someone has criticized you and you've been carrying that baggage. Maybe it's just one sentence someone said, or maybe it's been a record player that just played over and over and over. And you need God to set you free from those destructive, critical remarks. Some of you, it's affected your marriage today. It's affected your family. It's affected your career. It's prevented you from going on and aspiring because you're so beaten down. There's others of you today, maybe you find yourself being the critic. You know, when we are overly critical, all we do is see the negative. We can't see anything good. But my friend, God has been so, so good to us. There is so much He's done for us, and you need a change of perspective. You need to realize how good God is, how good life is, how much He cares for you, all the blessings He's poured in your life, and you need God just to take off that glasses of doom and gloom and to give you a perspective of life and of light. this morning, no matter where you're at, if you're saying, God, I want you to heal me from criticism, either that you're critical or you've been criticized and it's just broken you down, whatever it is, if you want healing from criticism, I just want you to put your hand in the air this morning. Just put it up high. If you're watching online, just raise your hand this morning. Many hands raised. You can put your hands down. You know, for some of us, if we've been criticized and we feel so bad about ourselves, we can carry that criticism over into our relationship with God. And we can feel like we've got to be perfect, we've got to be religious, we've got to do all these things to earn God's favor. But the truth is, there's nothing you and I can do to earn God's favor and God's love in our lives. It's not by works of righteousness that we've done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us. You see, God loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ. Jesus came to earth, He lived a sinless life, and He died on the cross for your sin. And if we receive God's gift of leadership and forgiveness, what happens is God now, He takes our sin away and He gives us the righteousness of Christ. You and I are not good enough in our own, but Jesus gives us His righteousness, and God sees you and I as being perfect, and through Christ we are good enough and we have a relationship with God. We're children of God. He accepts us. He validates us. And your worth comes from who you are in Jesus, not from anything you do. Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, you've got to deny yourself. You don't please yourself anymore, and you don't please others, but you live to please God. And if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, and you've been either pleasing yourself or trying to please others, but you realize you need to confess your sin, you need to make God the leader of your life, you need to accept Christ's gift of salvation. If that's you this morning, whether you're live or online, would you just raise your hand and say, I want God to forgive me. I want to deny myself. I want to start to please God. Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else you'd say, thank you. Anyone else today? Those of you watching online, go ahead and just raise your hand and say, God, I want to please you. I want to put away my sin. I want to begin to live for you. Thank you. I see that hand. I'm going to pray this morning. Father God, I ask right now that every person that's being moved upon by your Holy Spirit, at this moment, they would experience you. God, help us to experience your goodness, your love, and your approval. God, help us to find security in our relationship with Jesus, not in what other people think. Father, convict us when we're critical of others, when we're critical of life and everything around us, even being critical of you because you're not doing what we want you to do. Forgive us. Silence that poisonous talk. Give us a supernatural love for those who are hurting and wrongly criticizing. Give us a heart, God, for encouragement and a blessing rather than a discouraging and a curse. God, show us when to listen, show us when to answer, and show us when to be like Jesus and dismiss invalid criticism. Don't let us be driven by it. God, let us be driven by living for you and reflecting your goodness. Right now, I'd like every person to repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, cleanse me of criticism and all the harm that it's caused. Forgive me for everything I've done wrong. I can't be good enough. I will follow you, Jesus. I will please you. Help me to live for an audience of one. Amen. Lord, I pray right now for marriage relationships in this building and those watching online. God, that you would heal them. God, that all poison, all criticism would begin to just drain out like air draining out of a tire, and that you'd begin to put life in there. Father, I pray those who've had the baggage of criticism, it would be torn down, and you'd begin building wholeness, building health, building life in them today. God, set us free. Set us free this morning.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.